And welcome you to the third hour of our happy Easter Sunday morning edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the fastest way to pull up the stream, go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Upper Left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook, too. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and if you want to see that little bee that was so smart that knew how to gently pull its stinger out so it didn't die, it's a very cool video. You'll learn a lot about bees with Erica. Anyway, hey, it is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friend Sunday. And I'm totally discombobulated because Zoom just really, I know they do this on purpose just to mess with me, but they upgraded the system and now I can't make it work. And even Nathan couldn't help me find my filters. And so I had to, it's like being not dressed. Okay. I had to do the love train without my filters. But anyway, I got a little love training in. But what saved me is that Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from Animals 24/7. And guess who love trained with Aunt Martha? Little Teddy. And boy, Teddy's a good little dancer. And he's waving and everything and sitting in best lap. Anyway, so Teddy love trained with us. I think he is part of the group sitting on the couch there. We just don't always see him. And I'll bet you Henry and Arabella chickens were love training too. So Anyway, maybe Nathan can help me figure it out after we're done with the show. But
well, I'm sure people out there in listening audience are trying to figure out who Teddy is. And, well, I'll tell you right now, Teddy is not another chicken, nor is a bear.
So Teddy is a very cute little dog, and it looks like he just got his hair done. And so what kind of dog? So good morning, Merritt and Beth, and welcome to Animal World.
Good morning.
We're having a Mercury in retrograde day. First of all, it didn't affect you guys because you Zoom in with us. But the first thing that happened is I had no guests to interview because everybody's calling in, but the phone was not working and coming through to the studio, so Nathan's not getting any phone calls. So nobody can call into the studio right now. We can only call out. So anyway, so that started the whole thing. So what kind of dog is Teddy?
He's a mutt. We think he's got some Jack Russell, some Havanese, maybe some Bichon.
Yeah, so he's a smaller model that gets his hair cut and trimmed. It looked like he just had his head trimmed there. He looks very handsome.
He's sporting his Easter handkerchief.
Oh, and he's got his Easter duds on.
He
all
will
right.
not let me take it off. He'll be very insulted if I take it off.
Oh, I know. Robbie's like that too because he had special bandanas for the occasion.
Well, the groomer put it on him, and I think he looks at it as a gift from his friend that takes. He actually likes them. Even though he hates going to the groomer, he likes the groomers.
Yeah, same thing with Robbie. I don't know any dogs that like to be groomed. They generally like themselves after they're groomed. Well, some do, some don't care. Robbie actually likes to be clean, and he likes himself after he's clean and groomed, but he doesn't like the process of going through it.
It's funny, Martha, because you said you felt naked without your filters and your rainbow glasses. Well, I think that's how Teddy feels when he doesn't have
his bandana on.
Not just his bandana, his collar, if he feels it part of him. So he insists on having his bling on him if it falls off or so he feels naked without it.
Yeah, I Robbie has been that way too. He felt really special because remember when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl? Well, Robbie's spa day was just a few days before that. So he came home from spa day with a Seahawks bandana. And he thought he was the coolest dude on the planet, especially when we watched the Super Bowl. He was dressed up for the Super Bowl. So don't tell me our dogs don't care how they're dressed. They do. Well, there are those that prefer not to be dressed, but there are many that like their decorations. And Teddy's one of them. He needs his bandanas to feel good.
I used to say he's not a foo-foo dog. He's not a, well, you know what?
He is a foo-foo dog?
Hey, he's a foo-foo dog.
All right. Well, I'm so glad that you could join us today. And you're going to stay with us a little longer today because we don't have anybody live and in person, the Ananda Church of All Religions. They're doing that up big time Easter today and having the big Easter banquet and all that stuff. So nobody's available to talk with us on the air. So you've graciously agreed to stay a little longer. Anyway, so for anybody that doesn't know, might be just turning channels, what is animals24-7.org? What is that all about?
We cover the news about animals at the intersection of public health and safety all around the world. We've been doing it for quite a long time, so we have quite an inventory of coverage available at our website. It's a useful resource. Just this morning, we had our lead story ripped off in no time flat by a publication in San Francisco that used AI to basically dummy the whole thing down and put it on their page once. That's kind of a compliment in a backward way.
Right.
It took them about 20 minutes.
The most sincere form of flattery.
So which one was the one that got they took?
It was the one about vegan restaurants.
Is that the protein binging high meat diets?
Well, what's happening is that a lot of high-profile vegan restaurants have folded in the last month, and the whole pinky Kohl's slutty vegan chain filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. But come to look into it and compare it to other sectors, what's happening to the vegan restaurant business is the same thing that's happening to the fried chicken business, the steakhouses.
Chains.
Yeah, the high meat chains are having the same shakeout. It's really just across the boards in the restaurant industry. So vegan restaurant goers really don't need to panic. It's not something that's unique to being a vegan.
So what's going on?
Just a downturn in the economy always means a shakeout in the restaurant industry. And the restaurants that are most affected are the ones that are very trendy, the ones that are very high end, and the ones that have a very unique niche. Now, all of the vegan restaurants that have been in trouble have fallen into that category. They're either very trendy, like Pinky Cole's, or like Millennium down in the San Francisco Bay Area, very high end.
I think there's one here in Washington.
Yeah, there's one in Seattle that's closing too, and it's very specialized. So those are the very segments of the restaurant industry right across the boards that are currently having trouble because there's an economic downturn and inflation is driving up the cost of food, the cost of eating out. So people are just plain doing it less. It doesn't mean there's fewer vegans. It doesn't mean that people are turning away from vegan diet. Actually, the supermarket evidence is sort of in the opposite direction. And again, when the price of everything goes up, people eat less meat. It costs more money.
Yeah.
So what you see in the supermarket is exactly the opposite of what you see in the restaurants right now.
Wow, so that's interesting. So yeah, you put out an article about all of this morning. I just had to pull up my email to see because obviously I'm doing radio, so I'm not reading it. But you said as soon as you posted that, what was a newspaper or something or a publication in California picked it up and published it as theirs?
A periodical called San Francisco Today, within 20 minutes of our posting the article, had done a rewrite of it under the name of a guy named Ben Kaplan. We don't know him.
Huh.
It starts out with the same anecdote.
It's pretty obvious.
From Adam Karp, who's a local attorney. We know him quite
well.
He's
in Bellingham.
Well, we know Adam here. I've a long history with Adam. Yeah.
Adam's not particularly known in San Francisco. They wouldn't normally lead off a story with Adam, although you know, we would here. We have many
right.
Times.
That was the tell that they included Adam.
But then right straight through the story, they went to Pinky Cole and the Millennium people in exactly the same order.
Wow. Now, do you find that happens often? I mean, it could, because what you put out, I've never experienced any. I mean, I like I said, I think you guys don't sleep. I don't know how you do what you do, but you know, your knowledge or access to information is so extensive that your articles are so detailed and really, really, and incredibly informative. I'm not surprised at all that they would be taken and used. But so that is that pretty common though, that you find other publications pulling up and using your articles?
There was another example, even more, I guess you'd say spectacular, earlier in the week.
Yeah.
You may have heard of Jonathan the Tortoise, the 194-year-old tortoise.
Yes.
You know, that lives in St. Helena Island down in the South Atlantic, best known as the last place Napoleon lived, where he died.
Uh-huh.
A prisoner of war of the British. Well, a bogus report went out on April Fool's Day that Jonathan had died. It came out of Brazil. Attached to it was a link where people could donate in Jonathan's memory. Of course, the money was going to somebody in Brazil.
In cryptocurrency.
We start looking into this, and Beth in particular, I got to give her credit. She was very suspicious of the report for some reason and managed to scare up the supposed original source, a veterinarian who looks after Jonathan in St. Helena. And he had just posted a correction, which, you know, things don't get out on the internet very fast from St. Helena. It's the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But Beth picked it up, and we had
it was a team effort.
We got a story out there about he arose, Jonathan lives.
But here's the funny thing. BBC, all these major news agencies, in an effort to be the first to get the story out, got it wrong.
Are publishing that he died.
Right.
And then they're embarrassed. They won't ever admit it. They pull the article, and then they fix it and stick it back up.
The only one that got it right and had their correction online before we had our story up was USA Today.
Uh-huh.
They had it wrong initially, too.
Yeah, they had it wrong initially, too. They say in the journalism racket that if your mother says she loves you, get a second source. Well,
yeah, make sure you check your sources before you publish.
And I don't know if it's anything to be proud of, but I'm extremely cynical. And so everything gets questioned.
I think, isn't that even getting worse with all this AI stuff? I mean, I'm getting a real education. It's so hard anymore to know what is real and what isn't.
We here at Animals 24/7, I have embraced AI in a lot of the graphics that we used. So I'm not afraid of AI. And in a way, I'm ahead of the game because I have an eye for it. And most, I'm not saying I couldn't get fooled, but I'm always on the lookout. Okay, is this AI? And there are things that you can see that, you know, the composition blends into each other. The animals, that it just doesn't look right. It's very short. Usually they're very short because you have to pay for how many seconds of time that you have on a video. I don't even know why people waste their time doing this. What, they don't have a life, I guess. But yeah, I feel sort of fortunate that I can sort of spot them because I use it. But I always, always say when I make these collages that they're collages. I don't say this is real life.
Yeah.
And I try to make them funny so people, it's obvious. And yet still people say, this is AI. Even though it's clearly like a comic or, you know, a cartoon.
Right, right. Well, I know that initially I was fooled all the time. I'm getting much better at knowing what to look for and checking shadows and, you know, how many fingers and toes and all this. But I think part of the problem is with, at least with the animal stories, because, oh my gosh, I mean, if you do Facebook and stuff like that, people are creating the most wonderful and really they're getting better and better at doing it. So it gets really hard to tell if it's real. But these wonderful stories about animals doing these miraculous and wonderful things. And I know part of my problem initially was I just really wanted them to be true. But they aren't. And so if I can't, now pretty much I know now if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And I recognize, but the last thing I do, if I think, oh, well, you know, this could be real, then I'll read the comments, look at the comments, because pretty much if it's AI, somebody's going to say so.
Yes. And here's something interesting also. If you see a cougar and a puppy walking up to the cougar and then the cougar embraces the puppy and they sleep together. That's AI.
Right. See, that's, you want these things to be true. Oh, what was that? There's another one. There's a cougar and has a pack of domestic cats with it out. And we think, oh, that, gosh, that's really great. Wouldn't that be cool? But it's all just BS, you know. It's just, you know, and I think there are a lot of people that have too much time on their hands. It's amazing what's created.
I would point out that this is really not a new issue. This being Easter Sunday, I can remind everybody of the prophet Isaiah. Talked about a time when the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Well, the lion will lay down with the lamb because the lion is eating the lamb.
Oh no.
Well, that's true. Now, maybe as the Yuga cycles continue and we raise the consciousness of the planet a few thousand years down the line, maybe that'll be true. But it certainly isn't true in our reality right now. All righty, I am. We need to take care of advertisers here before Bigfoot starts stomping around on us. So let's go ahead. We'll take care of advertisers, and then we'll find out what else is going on in the animal world that we need to know about. So stay right where you are, Merritt. Beth are here, and it's animals24-7.org. We continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
Hi, I'm Sue Minahan. Join us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, April 5 at 1 p.m. Exploring Uranus's 7-year cycle in Gemini, not seen in 84 years. Uranus stirs our collective far memory and dramatically shifts how humanity tells its stories, from verbal tradition to the written word to film and AI. Journey with Talk Cosmos Sunday, April 5 at 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have 2 professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and 2 live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Walking your talk? Take us with you. The KKNW app makes streaming our programming easy on your phone or tablet.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're almost midway through the last hour of this Easter Sunday edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and I'll have a few things to update you about before we close out the show with Ananda. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. If you're interested, shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty, so we are headed back over to Whidbey Island, where it's Easter every day, according to Merritt. And that would be with Henry and Arabella, the chickens and the eggs and stuff. It is kind of like Easter every day, I think, over there. So anyway, I didn't ask you guys, is everything good in the Henry and Arabella department? How's Mr. Rooster and family?
They're doing wonderfully. She hasn't restarted laying eggs yet, which is okay because we don't really eat eggs, but they're doing great. They're doing
so
fantastic.
Did she stop laying eggs for a while? I mean,
winter.
Oh, the winter. Okay. Okay.
So she'll
because
probably
some chickens lay, at least that live in, you know, in a domestic situation, you know, coop situation. Some of them lay through the winter. I know my friend's chickens lay through the winter. There's not as many. But Arabella stopped completely during the winter, huh?
Yeah, she does.
All right, but the coop is holding up well, and no more evidence of coyotes coming to
Good. We're good.
Henry must have scared the you know what out of the one that came and never to return again, probably.
Since.
All right. Well, now that we know that you guys are profoundly accurate and detailed in all that you publish, that you get ripped off all the time. What else is going on in the animal world that we need to know about?
Oh, we were talking about what used to be called nature faking and maybe still is. And this was a really hot issue as long as 120 years ago when Theodore Roosevelt and John Burroughs, the famous naturalist, went after a minister named William J. Long, who was writing observations about animals that are very similar to a lot of the kinds of things that we see now from places like the dodo, the cute stories about animals attributing to the animals human characteristics. In Long's case, he was attributing a moral motivation to things. So they branded William J. Long a nature faker, and the term was extended to many other writers of that time who were writing about animals, some of them just making it up as they went. But in Long's case, we know now that his observations were correct. His understanding of what he was seeing was what was off.
Huh.
Explanations, he was explaining them in human terms rather than from the animal perspective. And Theodore Roosevelt and John Burroughs were a bit hasty in arguing that animals are motivated entirely by instinct, that they're not capable of planning things, not capable of demonstrating altruism. We know now that animals do this.
Yeah.
It's just not necessarily to the extent or from the direction that a 19th century Protestant minister would have had. For example, animals don't avoid drinking alcoholic beverages because they are moral. In fact, a lot of birds get drunk as a lord on fermented berries.
Yeah, yeah.
The animals who avoid alcohol because it's just not part of what they can
do. Well, it tastes bad, you know.
It's not on the menu. So
I have seen, you know, like videos of birds that, you know, will, you know, a flock of birds will go after fermented something and then they're all passed out on the ground because they're drunk. So that does happen for sure.
Birds get roadkilled quite a bit when the berries are in season and, you know, they get stoned and behave recklessly around cars or don't even see the car coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But we also see today, and for the last, as long as TV's been around, we see a lot of nature faking in the production of nature video series. This past week, we've heard again from a South African woman who for some years now has been tracing the use of African wildlife in videos that are shown on American TV, European TV, etc. When you enlarge the picture, you can actually see.
I'm afraid we're going to burst some people's bubbles.
Where the prey animals are very often tethered. More often small than large, or the antelope or buffalo that's brought down by the lion is a tame animal that's released into an enclosure.
It's staged wildlife videos. And in the places that you think you can trust.
Wow.
I mean, the shows that you think are real and you can trust. Actually, this is very systematic across the board. The videographers, the people that have the animals, I guess Merrick can probably explain.
Well, the most notorious example, and it's probably the best documented, Walt Disney Productions is still distributing a film called White Wilderness that was made in 1958 using faked footage, supposedly showing lemmings rushing off a cliff, which actually was a videographer or filmmaker back in those days, tossing lemons into a waterfall, netting them at the bottom and throwing them down over and over. So he used the same lemmings.
Wow.
And this was supposed to demonstrate something which we now know never happens in nature. The lemmings are rushing off a cliff to their death when there's overpopulation of lemmings. Well, this was exposed fairly early. Roy Disney, who was in charge of that film division, withdrew White Wilderness a couple of times during his lifetime. He died, and his successors apparently forgot that it had been withdrawn, and they've re-released White Wilderness several more times.
Well, it wasn't just Disney.
Well, so that's really interesting that not only do we have AI to contend with, and knowing that a lot of these things are faked and created, you know, visually, but there's also real animals, but being filmed in a deceptive way to make us think it's something that it isn't.
We watched a video yesterday, these videos. It's a British guy, obviously, very well spoken. All the animals have names, like they know what they're talking about. Bruce is babysitting, you know, the two babies, and it's all. And people, including me, I would have sat there like, oh, look, the babies have names and the uncle is babysitting them. The meerkats I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And now they're going to go off and hunt, he says in his British accent. And it's all baloney, but it is, they use the footage, they edit it, and it's kind of disappointing.
It used to be that there would be warnings, you know, this has been edited or this has been, but they don't fess up to what they're doing anymore, huh?
Usually they don't, but the video makers use it. Technique, which is also well known to fundraisers, where you play on human relationships, the father, daughter, mother, son, siblings, etc. And people identify with these relationships, and it pulls them into sending a donation, in the case of an animal story told in an appeal, into watching the video and the commercials that go with it when it's posted to Facebook. And you really have to be on your toes to realize people are playing with your emotions here.
That was just coming in kind of intuitively as one of the biggest things with this is that this kind of manipulation can be used to get you to send the money. So you got to be real careful about responding emotionally to these videos or things that you see. And I wouldn't send money unless you know it's a legitimate situation. If there's something going on in India, you know, I mean, we know that Eileen and Help Animals India is legitimate, or donating to animals24-7.org, or, you know, you got to be careful when there's stuff going on. And speaking of that, I'm wondering, you know, we've continued, I think we were already in this warring business going on in the Middle East when we talked the last time, but it continues to go on. It's getting worse. Is there any word or information on what's going on animal wise in the Middle East with what's going on?
Well, we mentioned Animals Lebanon with Jason and Maggie before, and that's still really the only source we're aware of that's very reliable for what's going on in Lebanon. In Iran, the communications have been shut down, basically, but there really wasn't very much pro-animal activity there anyway, because it had been repressed by the Revolutionary Guard as being, you know, something Western, with what I would consider having, you know, read the words of the Prophet Muhammad himself and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. He preached kindness to animals. And the Revolutionary Guard does not seem to absorb that part anyway of the Prophet's messages.
So they see living with domestic animals a Western culture sort of thing. So then they think it's bad.
Right. And they're very suspicious of any kind of non-governmental organization, anything that's not under their thumb. So if you organize an independent humane society or animal rights group,
it's about control of the people.
And we have the same thing going on actually on the Russian side of the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. There are actually quite a number of Western-style humane organizations in Ukraine. They have access to the internet, to Facebook, to Instagram, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's fairly easy to get information from that side. But on the other side, Putin shut down the whole damn internet. So Russian, ordinary Russian citizens can't really post anything in their language or in ours to let us know what's going on.
Hmm.
The intent is not so much to shut down animal-related information as it is to simply shut down bad news about the war. But shutting that down affects everything.
Wow.
There's no scientific information about animals coming out of Russia at the present point.
Yeah, so doesn't look like there's going to be much, reliable information coming out related to animals and so forth. But the Animals Lebanon, that is a legitimate source?
That's legit. I've known Jason Meyer for a really long time, and his wife, Maggie, I've been acquainted with her for more than 20 years. They're very trustworthy people. Jason, before he married Maggie and became the general manager of Animals Lebanon, did a lot of undercover investigation of wildlife trafficking in Africa. Very dangerous work, working with a man named Carl Amman, who is a well-known photographer. And basically it was Carl that took the pictures and Jason that took the risks of meeting with these bad guys and pretending to be one of them and bringing some of them to justice.
Wow. Wow.
He was sponsored in part by Shirley McGreal, the founder of the International Primate Protection League. And she's now deceased, but I knew her for a really long time. So did Beth.
She rescued Gibbons. Gibbons, among other things, the ones that are so noisy at the zoos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, anything else going on with animals around in this country or around the world that we should be aware of?
Well, we've been covering and logging and keeping track of the usual number of dog attacks. We're on a pace right now with 24 verified dog attack deaths through the first 3 months of the year.
24, wow. Now, is that high for what?
It's not only high, it's a record pace.
Wow.
At this pace, we may have over 100 dog attack deaths for the year. And to give you an idea how high that was, in the first 10 years that I tracked dog attack fatalities, there were only 18. 18 and 10.
In the whole year?
The whole year.
10 years.
In 10 years.
Oh, in 10 years.
A 10-year total of 18. And from 1930 to 1960, there were only 16 in a 30-year period.
Wow.
So it's really exploded, and there's really only one reason for it. People are just keeping a lot more pit bulls than they ever used to, because that's what's well over 70% of the deaths and of disfigurements.
And often not understanding the capabilities, the owner.
Yeah, and it's a truth that we can't avoid. And I know as a behavior therapist and trainer, I mean, pit bulls by nature tend to have very sweet personalities and temperaments. And I think spirit works in, unusual ways. And sometimes the physical bodies that are capable of doing the most damage come with the best personalities and all of that. But the fact of the matter remains that the behavior is fairly specific to this breed, and that one of the big problems is their great jaw pressure per pound, and their jaw pressure and so forth, and they're able to break bone and do damage that other breeds of dogs cannot do.
Selectively bred to lack the normal canine inhibitions about attacking a human being or something larger than they are. It's been bred out of them and bred into them to go from 0 to 60 because in a dog fight, when they cross the scratch line, it's a fight to the death. There's no, the dog that hesitates to sniff a butt is going to be a dead dog. So it's very different from normal canine behavior with dogs bred for any other purpose. And I do have to emphasize that this is what they've been bred for 500 years, 500 generations for a dog. And that's roughly equivalent to the, again, because we're at Easter, it's roughly the number of generations of humans since we first differentiated into racial groups. You go back to the, you know, the story of Noah's Ark and his three sons. That's how many generations influence selective breeding of pit bulls has had.
Yep. And when, and I know, because I know dogs and in my, you know, career working with and so forth that, you know, could be some of the most most dangerous dog on the planet, but then it can also be the greatest dog in the world. And it, and if it isn't put in the same circumstances and all of that, it's a completely different ballgame. But the fact of the matter is that this energy is part of the breed. And like you said, the history and all of that. And I think there's more than just that going on, because I teach what I call the human to animal transference, and that, you know, our animals pick up, process, and reflect back our belief systems, behaviors, characteristics, and particularly suppressed negative emotional energy. And I also believe and teach that the wildlife tends to reflect the behaviors and the belief systems of the mass consciousness of the humans they live around. Domestic animals tend to process what's going on with the humans they live with. And in those situations, and, you know, we as a human species, and I mean, look what we're doing. We're not good at dealing with emotional energy, and we've gotten angrier and more vengeful, and there's a whole lot of more human stuff going on. And I think that is reflecting and is affecting what's going on with the animals. And consequently, we need to be wiser about what we do and we have to restrict some things that we are not real comfortable doing. But, you know, there doesn't seem to be any accounting for stupid human behavior these days. Don't get me started on that. But anyway, so I think it's as much humans as it is the breed and what's going on. But the fact of the matter is that it is going on, and you're the one that's been keeping the statistics for all of this time, and you can't argue with the facts. Well, you can make up facts of your own and have alternative facts, but that's still not the truth.
Well, that was another thing we actually got into this week. A study came out, published in Nature and picked up by Science, that found that roughly half, 49% to be exact, of all papers published in the social sciences are claiming facts that can't be replicated in parallel studies, which means that the findings in social science are equivalent to a coin flip in areas such as psychology, behaviorism, economics, philosophy, several other areas. And these are exactly the areas where people are relying on that kind of study to guide their policies pertaining not just to dogs, but to all animals, to wildlife too. And what it comes down to is a person who has a very good knowledge of animals is very likely to make a better decision than a person who's relying on the scholarship. That should be a little bit scary. And that, we think, is underlying a lot of these attacks, the dog attacks, where people are relying on scholarship that are saying pit bulls are just like any other dog. Well, they're not just like any other dog, and a dog man can tell you that, but scholarship so far isn't. Now, by contrast, if you look at the hard sciences, such as medical, you look at medical journals, they've been absolutely unequivocal for about 50 years when the first such studies appeared, that pit bull injuries are by far the most serious and they see the most fatalities, the most broken bones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It has to do with the jaw strength, like you were talking about. So there's really a gulf there.
Well, and the way they're instinctively trained, I mean, you know, the way that their instincts have been built in terms of the selective breeding and all that sort of thing. You know, they have, you know, genetic or instinctive tendencies that other dogs wouldn't have because of that breeding. Anyway, we all need to kind of wake up and realize that things are changing. I know now, especially when people ask me about coyote behavior and, you know, wild animal behavior, I'm changing my answers. And most of the time is that I don't know. I can't tell you. Their behavior is changing because the environment's changing. We're changing. All of that, it's all changing. We need to be aware of that. Anyway, speaking of that, we got to take care of Average Riders again, and I got to give an Ananda update. So I really appreciate you guys staying with us a little longer today, and hope that you have a wonderful Easter Sunday afternoon. And please give our love to Henry and Arabella, and thank our wonderful Teddy for love training with us. And anyway, I appreciate you and happy Easter. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you.
All righty. God bless. All right, Nathan, let's take care of those advertisers and we'll come back with an Ananda update. And then we'll be out of here. And gosh, I'm going to get out in the sun and do some yard work. Woohoo. All right. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Easter Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful NuPro. Remember, it's NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Check them out at NuProSupplements.com. You can purchase there. If you can't find them in your local pet store, there are also products that are available on Amazon. Check out Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline. Great access, easy parking. Jude is a phenomenal healer. It's wonderful to get in there in person to be with the Accutonic bowls or forks and chimes and gongs. You can see her in person or she can work with you remotely. Check her out, whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. And remember me, I need referrals and would love to help anyone you know that's got problems with their dogs. Tell them I'll always talk to them for free on the phone. Tell them to give me a call, 360-217-7258. All righty. Now, Ananda couldn't join us in person today, but I thought I would let you know how to find out what's going on. Now, not a lot of big events coming up here after today's Easter. You can do like me after Temple and go to AnandaWashington.org. I'm going to then watch the Sunday service. And so if you go to the website, AnandaWashington.org, when you pull that up, right at the top of the page, there's a green circle that says Sunday service. You just click on that, and you'll be able to watch the Sunday service. Then if you scroll down a little bit, then there's classes and events. Click on that. You'll find all that out. If you're interested in yoga classes, beginning or advanced or drop-in classes, there's a yoga there. Then there's meditation, same thing. Lots of meditation classes and drop-in classes, and they've got retreats listed there and pilgrimages. They've got an Ask a Yogi, you know, Riemann is available for questions. So all of that is on the AnandaWashington.org website, and then specific classes and retreats are featured down the rest of the page. Now, the other thing that they wanted me to remind you about, of course, is East West Bookshop in Edmonds. And boy, has that become really, really popular. Now, to find out what's going on at East West Books and Gifts in Edmonds, you got to go to their website, and that's eastwestseattle.org. eastwestseattle.org. And when you bring that up, then the first big thing you scroll down, upcoming events. There's a Tibetan Singing Bowl sound bath coming up on April 17th, a Reiki circle. That looks like that's ongoing. So that's an in-store. Tarot and tarot card readings on Friday, April 10th. A spring fair on April 18th, 11 to 6 p.m., and that's in the store. There's a meditation group every Tuesday from 6:15 to 7:15, and it's just by donation. Then there's readers and healers on a regular basis. And look at this, Explore Wisdom from Japan. That's really neat. So a lot of cool stuff. So if you want to know what's going on out in Edmonds, it is eastwestseattle.org, eastwestseattle.org, and that will bring up all the great stuff you need to know about. So, golly, I think that pretty much covers the bases we need to cover today for Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. Like I said, I'm going to go to AnandaWashington.org when we're finished with the show, and I'm going to go to Easter service. So any of you want to join me, I'd love to do it along with you. Nathan, you're going to be busy all afternoon taking care of the radio station and trying to figure out what the heck's going on with the phones, I would imagine.
Yeah, but thankfully I went to my Easter service last night, so I'm all covered.
So
there
you covered the bases on Easter, so you're good. Now what do we need to know about is the Mariners, are they playing today or anything?
Are playing. They got a 1 o'clock game today, again, playing against the Los Angeles Angels. Hopefully they can get ahead in the series there. And also do want to mention that next week, Mariners are back in town on Sunday. So I will be out and stomping around during the show, during the normal show time.
Oh, so we won't see you next week. So that means David is going to be in for you.
Yeah, he'll be in here filling in.
And you'll be out bigfooting.
I will. Stomping around, and hopefully it brings good performance to the Mariners, since they need a little bit of an extra boost right now.
Well, it seems last Sunday you were a good luck charm for them, so maybe you'll be a good luck charm for them again, and they'll win. And if people are going to the Mariners game a week from today, how can they find you?
Well, they can go to the T-Mobile Park pen before the game starts, or actually before the national anthem is sung. You go into the center field entrance, which is on the northeast side of T-Mobile Park. And once you get in through there, just look for signs pointing you to the T-Mobile pen. And that is the beer garden in center field, where I will be as Bigfoot, helping to promote Miller Lite and also taking photos with fans and interacting with them and just having some big fun in the pen.
So, well, sounds wonderful. So if you're going to the game, the Mariners game, a week from Sunday, go early so you can meet Bigfoot and have some Miller beer, right?
Absolutely. Not a better place to do that, especially since looking like it'll, well, we'll see if it'll be sunny or not. I don't get a forecast out that far, but it's always great to be at the ballpark, of course, when it's sunny.
Yep, and we'll think good thoughts and send good energy to the Mariners. But, you know, it's a long season. They got a lot of time, and they're just revving their engines and working out all the bugs early so that they can win the whole thing later on. At least that's the thought I'm holding.
That's the plan. That's what they should be doing.
So then remember, next week, no Nathan, but David will be here keeping us on the air. And it is our energy balancing show, best bioenergetic synchronization technique and energy codes gal, Linda Rasmussen, will be here. And we'll take your phone calls, and she'll help you and your animal friends with emotional, behavioral, or physical issues. And I hope you will mark your calendars, plan to be here, and plan to call in so that Linda has something to do while she's here, because we would love to help you and your animal friends. And then all week you can support the Mariners and think good thoughts. Otherwise, Nathan won't be happy with you. So we just have to keep this guy happy. Other than that, you all have a wonderful Easter. And remember your animal friends and make sure everything is safe for them. And as always, I leave you with, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week. Oh,